Got some starters, so let's get some fuel. Get your Bibles out and go to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke. Chapter 11. I've got a really simple but powerful message tonight. I truly believe that God desires for each and every one of us to be empowered by His Spirit. Amen? That when we walk on the face of this earth, we're not walking as mere men, women, sons and daughters of God, waiting to die. I don't think, now this is kind of thus saith Robert, but I don't really think God's concerned if you're a plumber, a carpenter, a welder, an inherited millionaire, never worked a day in your life. Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, if we had a choice, we could trade. That'd be all right. But I'm just saying, I don't think that God is near as concerned. Now, don't get this wrong. Let me finish my statement before you panic and run off. I don't think God is near as concerned with our business as we are concerned with our businesses. I think He wants them to prosper because He wants us to prosper. He wants us to bless us because He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to prosper so that we can give and sow and do all those things. But I think as Americans, Christian Americans, we worry too much about things that really don't make any hill of beans in the big scope of life. I mean, I think I'm just preaching. Kind of like I even said the other day, I'm just kind of old-fashioned. I just believe the Bible's true. You read through the scriptures, God never says, look, now guys, it's going to be close. You really got to watch yourself because I'm telling you, it's going to be a close race. I don't know if I'm going to pull this thing off. And so I need all y'all praying for me that I'm going to make it. You get no indications from the scripture that when Jesus was going to the cross to do the finished work of the gospel, the good news, that He was going to pay the price for all of us, that He was going to die on the cross so that our sins could be washed away so that we could have audience with our Heavenly Father and not get fried. Right? If you remember the Old Testament, Aaron's first two sons, Nadab and Abihu, they were named wrong anyway, but they took and offered strange fire before the altar, and the Bible says that the fire of God came out, consumed them. They swept the boys up in a dustpan and took them out. We, in our humanness, with our sin upon us, without the blood of Jesus, if we entered into the presence of God, if He looked at us, dustpan. Because there's no way we could have ever stood in the presence of Almighty God with sin on our life. So then Jesus comes and He pays the price that His blood is poured out for all of our sins so that our sins can be washed away whether we redo them or not. He pays the price for all of our sins so that we can have an audience with the King of Kings, the Father, our Father, the Creator of this world. We could walk into His presence and say, Daddy. Yet the devil spends most of his time trying to get us convinced that God does not hear our prayers, God is not working on our behalf, and that we really can't trust God. We need to worry. Am I preaching good? I must have had 65 things that needed to get lined up this week. That may be a slight exaggeration, but it felt like that many. So I started praying Sunday night. Father, I just thank you right now. You said, trust in the Lord with all of my heart, lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledge you, and you're going to direct my paths. I don't know where I'm going to end up this week. I don't know how it's going to go. But God, I thank you that you will direct my paths. You're going to line it up. You're going to straighten everything out. You're going to make everything happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. I need to be here, but I need to be there. I need to do this. I need to do that. But God, I don't know. I trust in you with all of my heart. You're going to make it all work out. Things that I thought were impossible, things that I thought could not happen, things that I thought there was no way it could get done. As I just kept praising him, walking with him through the week, one thing began to fall, the next thing began to fall in line, next thing began to fall in line. It's still not all in line, but you know, I'm not really too worried about it because I've already seen so much take place. I'm not worried about what didn't get into place because if he got that in place, I'm sure he can get the rest in place and I shouldn't even worry about it. Wouldn't it be nice to wake up in the morning and not have to worry about anything? Oh, we try to train ourselves not to worry. We try to say we're not worried. We confess the scripture and say we're not worried. Oh, well, that's okay. God will take care of it. But really inside, we're worried. Look at the person beside you. Just smile real big at them. We try not to worry. We say we're not worried. Somebody says, are you okay? Everything all right? Oh, yeah, everything's fine. We do like the Shunammite one. We say, yeah, it's well. But inside, we're going, ah! Huh? Am I preaching good? I mean, I'm having revelation knowledge here. Flowing in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Word of knowledge and wisdom. It's the truth. We're worried about everything. Every person I talk to right now that I run across in my daily activities in life, not talking about just church people, just people on the street. Everybody's worried and everybody's mad. It's two things they are, which is probably the worst two things we could be right now. Worried and mad. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows what tomorrow's going to bring. Everybody's worried. Everybody's upset. Nobody's trusting in the president. Nobody's trusting in the economy. Nobody trusts in Congress. Nobody trusts in nothing. Nobody trusts in nothing. Nobody trusts in nothing. We're all just kind of going along. Everybody's mad. Just at home loading shells. What was that statement that the president made before on his election campaign? Everybody just clings to guns and religion? Amen, brother. And reloaders. We got to have reloaders, too. Can I just take a side note? Y'all remind me where I was so I can get back in the flow of things because I just got to take a little side note here. Did y'all hear about this? I just want to stand up and just shout from the rooftops, yes! And then y'all going to love this one. Montana passed a law. The state of Montana passed a law that any gun produced, y'all make sure and put a little hickey on here so this gets in. We don't need this going out over the radio. Any gun that's produced in Montana that doesn't leave Montana, therefore is interstate commerce, and so therefore it can't be regulated by the federal government. As long as it doesn't cross state line. And guess what other state jumped on the bandwagon with them? Texas. Our Texas. Oh, hell, the mighty state. I got to think, do we even have any gun manufacturers in Texas? And I thought, that don't make no difference. That's Texas, man. Well, that'd be the next hot business, man, gun business. Now, they're talking about it's not going to work and this and that and the other and all that, but I just thought, wherever there is rednecks, they will come up with a plan to come up somehow and shake off the heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. And let all God's children praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Getting way off now. Come on. I'm really not on drugs. I'm just happy. So anyway, Luke chapter 11. Let's look at what Jesus says about this whole situation. Let's look at what this whole thing he says about all this worry, all this strife, all this bad reports, all these things coming against us. Let's look at what he says here. Verse 9. Do y'all believe the Bible's true? Yes. If it's in red, did Jesus say it? Yes. So I say unto you. Who's the you he's talking to? Everybody say me. He's talking to me. He says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now stop there for just a second. The word here, ask, it means to call for or to crave. Not just like, you know, going up to the window at the fast food place and saying, hey, let me have a cheeseburger. It's not the same. It's more intensity. It means to crave. Well, you could crave a cheeseburger, but crave. Ask for it, but it's with a craving, a longing. It's a yearning. Ask for. See, I believe a lot of times the prayers that we throw up, if there's so much worry on the inside of us, we're just throwing the prayers up as a defense mechanism. Like a Patriot missile we're trying to shoot up to knock down the missile that's coming. It's just a defense mechanism. It's not offensive, it's defensive. Prayer is just a defensive cover we're throwing up to try to shield the umbrella of God's protection, to shield us some before the missile's really going to hit and do some damage. You follow what I'm saying? That's our mentality. Maybe, am I crazy here? Have y'all ever prayed like that before? Huh? Come on, talk to me, church. Talk to me. Right? The prayer is not an offensive weapon. It's a defensive weapon. You're praying and asking, oh, God, can you bail me out of this? But inside you're saying, oh, this is going to hurt when it hits. Because your mental imagery is seeing the missile coming. And you're just like, ah, it's going to hurt when it hits. You're just sitting there looking at it and saying, this is not going to be good. Right? That's not the way Christians are supposed to be. It's supposed to be a call for, a crave. And the word seek means, listen, to plot. So it means seeking for it, but seeking for it with a plan. You're seeking it with. Yeah, you're plotting it. You're thinking, how's this course going to go? Okay, now. Instead of saying, how's this missile going to hit me? Because the Bible says the enemy shoots fiery darts at you. Instead of saying, how's this fiery dart going to hit me? And how bad it hurts? And I bet when it hurts, it's going to burn, buddy, burn when it hits me. You're sitting there saying, okay, now I'm going to do a quick left turn and arch my back, and that puppy's going to go hit over there, and I'm going to turn around and say, hey, you missed me. I saw this the other day. I say I just had to pray for my mind sometimes, and just my wife, poor thing. God. I saw this video of this guy. It was like one of these things, like a wildest police chase video or something like that, where this guy was in a pizza parlor and this woman came in and she just walked up and cut through all the line, and the guy smarted off and said something to her. So she smarted back to him, and then she walked outside and brought her boyfriend in. And this dude was an ex-con. You see that? This guy's like 6'6", 320. Huge. Huge beast of a man. And this guy, there's like six or eight guys standing in there, and this guy just begins to waylay on this guy. Knocked him out, broke his eye socket, tore him all to pieces. And this is what got me. Everybody stood there and watched. They backed up, gave him some room. I'm serious. Backed up and gave him some room. Let this guy just thrash this guy. So the whole time I kept watching the video, I was putting myself in the position of what would I do? I couldn't just stand there and let that man get hit. Now, and nothing but a pizza tray. Now, a pizza tray ain't going to do very good to hit that big guy with, because he is going, thrash me in just a minute. I mean, he's got a paw on him this big, you know. It'd be like fighting a grizzly bear. And I was like, so I'm, the whole time, I spent like 2 days, I couldn't quit thinking about, what would you do in a situation like that, you know? But my whole thought was, I never thought in my mind that he would have done that to me. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, now, you know, I'm not going to just stand there and get hit. I'm going to do something if I had to run around, jump on the other side of the counter. You know what I mean? I'm not. This guy just was not paying attention. He's just talking on his cell phone and turned his back to him. This guy just co-cocked him. And my point is, maybe a bad example, but my point is, your mind has got to be thinking not about how the enemy is going to take advantage of you in this situation, but how God is going to deliver you out of it. It's within that faith and that dynamic of you dreaming and believing, and like Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brothers. It's in that. It's in using your mental capacity and your imagination that you're dreaming. Okay, God, you're going to bail me out of this, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but you're going to do something. It's going to, whoa! I'm going to take a look at it. Whoa! You can't hit me. Whoa! Look, I'm invisible. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you can't just stand there and say, oh, this is going to hurt when it hits. You have got to get into this deal of when you're seeking, when you've asked, and then you begin to seek, it's a plot. There's a song that our kids used to sing in children's church all the time. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, right? Was it? There's nothing. That's right. And I used to sing that with them, you know, and I'd say, my God is so big. I used to sing it wrong, though. Remember, you were always correcting me. I had my own version. You know, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Right? The enemy says something, you got to say something back. You can't just ask and say, oh God, can you please do something about this mean, ugly devil that's bothering me down here? No, you got to do something. You got to have a plot. So he says, ask and you seek. Okay, the word plot means to worship, has a connotation to mean worship. To endeavor and to inquire. Now, let me read on. For everyone who asks receives. Wow. Hold there. And hold your finger there. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. Now, this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Confidence. You know, I sometimes wonder if God had everything all set up in life. You know, being of the stature of an individual I am, and always when I was a heathen going into bad places I shouldn't have been and always ended up getting in a fight, I always had big friends with me. And I was very confident that they were going to bail me out when our mouth got us in trouble. Did y'all get that? When my mouth got us in trouble, I had big friends. They were going to bail me out. And I tell you what, I even to this day, something will come up, something will be over my head, something will be bigger than I could have ever done, something will be you know, larger than I can imagine. And I just sit back and I smile. And I say, man, I think I got big friends. Got big friends. Got confidence. Got to have confidence. Confidence that God can take you out of whatever situation. Confidence that God can bring about whatever needs to bring about. Confidence that no matter what it looks like, no matter what you think, no matter what you hear, no matter what's saying, man, God can do something. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, everybody say anything. Does anything mean anything? If we ask anything according to his will, now there everybody gets in the, that's just, you know, put an end to it, because it's got to be according to his will. And how do we know the will of God? You know the will of God because you know what the Word of God says. If you know what the Word of God says, you know what his will is. Because his word is his will. You don't go pray and ask God and God say, well, listen, when I wrote that day, I was just kind of happy that day, but that doesn't apply today. I mean, you're saying, what's the rules? I ran in that today. The rules changed. I didn't know it. Nobody told me. In building, construction, nobody told me the rules changed. I found out today they did. It didn't make any difference. I told them that they were wrong. It was stupid. And I didn't get to the part about burning in hell forever or anything like that. But the rules changed. I didn't know it. But I'm glad to know that I don't go to the throne of God praying and then find out the rules change and I didn't know it. That I can know what his will is because I can read his word. If I know what his word says, I know what his will is. And so this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You know how powerful just that is? You know, I think if we as Christians, if we had like a, you know, I don't know, but if y'all have an oven, you know, like in it, and you, like you're going to preheat to put something in the oven and you get to a certain place and then it dings, you know, ping, it's at the right temperature. I think sometimes we as Christians want the same kind of thing within our own life, that if we've prayed and heaven did hear us and it got into the throne, that then it goes, bing, and you say, oh, okay, it got there. Thank you, God. Yes, my prayer has been heard. The Lord light came on, bing, it's. I feel so much better now. But what Jesus has said to us right here is ask and shall be given, seek and shall find, knock and there shall be opened. He's just saying, look, if you prayed, and this is the confidence we have, that if you prayed, what do we mean with prayer? Have y'all ever done this? I'm sure you haven't, but maybe you heard, know somebody that did. You prayed a prayer, and then when you got through praying, you didn't feel like God heard it because you didn't pray it right, so you prayed a prayer again. And then you thought, well, I don't know if that one got hurt either, so I don't know if that was right either. So you pray a prayer a third time? Huh? Because you're thinking like, hey, they probably didn't let that one in the door, you know. Like we got this meter it's got to measure up to. And then once we've measured to the meter, bing, we get the little red light and the prayer was heard. Where does that come from? Just, you know, it's my thinking. It comes just from religious teaching and you know, trying to get the priest to pray or the special prayer, or the holy prayer, or the, you know, or whatever. Right? But isn't it funny that he didn't say that? He just says, ask. What a great relationship. What a great relationship to ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and shall be. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, verse 15, that whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we've asked him for. So in other words, it's like prayer should be the relief of all stress and worry. Oh, but Pastor, that's just, it's too much. It's too what, hard? It's called stirring your faith to believe that what you prayed was real. It's talking about living and walking in a relation empowered by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, that when you pray, God heard you, and then he moves on your behalf. That I mean, maybe I'm egotistical, but when I pray, I don't know what's going on with you guys. Mine's getting answered. I mean, if there's only one prayer getting through, mine got through. Y'all had to take a number. I'm sorry. If you're up in the mornings around 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, mine are getting answered. I mean, if you want to get in there with me and muscle up to the throne, that's great. I don't know how the system works. He seems to be able to answer more prayers than mine. If we all right now stood up and prayed a prayer, I mean, this guy is, hey, hold on, that's confusing down there. I can't, wait, one at a time, I couldn't get all that. If that's the way it works, man, I mean, we're in trouble. He ain't much of a God. Right? It's so simple. Yet how many people pray and worry? Pray and worry, pray and worry, pray, worry. Pray, worry, pray, worry. And you know why? Because we don't have the concept of a miracle-working God. We have the concept of a magician God. And we want to rub the magic lamp, and the genie appears, and we talk to the genie and ask our three wishes, and then he goes out of the back into the lamp, and everything's okay. We want a magician, not a miracle worker. And miracles take time. Oh, there's some miracles, like turning water into wine, that just happen. But there's other miracles that take the dealings of other men's hearts and the things of God working around in the situations and getting it in the right places at the right time and all those kind of things like that, that it'll take a little bit more time. And our job is to do two things. Pray and believe. Pray and believe. Let's go back to Luke and let me finish this. He says in verse 11, now if a son asks bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Stop there for a second. You know what that word evil means? One who causes pain. It doesn't necessarily mean like, you know, a wicked ruler. It means like one who causes pain. Isn't that the truth? That sometimes in the best of our humanness, we still just cause pain. What we think is going to be good, what we think is going to be, you know, trying to make things work out right, and the best of that, all we do is cause pain. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the natural response, the naturalness of a father trying to take care of his children, but in the sense of him trying to take care of his children, he actually caused pain. And isn't it funny that he uses here, that he talks about bread and Jesus being the bread of life. And he talks about fish, and Jesus always multiplied the fishes. And he talks about eggs because there was another example. I just had to throw that in. I'm sorry. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Everybody say much more. How much more? My grandson was at the house early this morning. So at 7 o'clock, Holt comes tripping in the house. He could have had anything he wanted in life. He was just so cute, came walking in there in his pajamas and crawled up in my lap. If he'd have said, Papa, I want everything. I said, where do I sign? You know what I'm saying? I'd have given him anything. He's just so cute. And I'm thinking about the way I feel towards him. And then my Heavenly Father wants to do much more. Do you know it must grieve God that we don't even believe that he's going to answer the prayers that we fast, that we don't even have any faith and confidence in him? How much sorrow and pain there must be in God's heart when we as his children, that he sent his son to save us and he's poured out his blood for us and delivered us and set us free, and that we can't even believe that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. We can't even muster up enough faith in our own hearts and confidence in God that he's going to bring us through. He says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Now, think about this for a minute. Why did he use and say he's going to give them the Holy Spirit? Remember last week when we went over in John 14? We're talking about John 14, that God said that Jesus said he was going to go to the Father and the Father was going to send the Holy Spirit so that he could be our comforter. He's saying, man, the greatest thing I want to give you is right now comfort on earth. I want to give you an empowerment within you right now. It's my desire. The greatest desire I can give you is my spirit with you at all times to teach you and to talk with you and to be with you here on this earth. So like John 14 says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I'm going to be here and I'm going to empower you and he's going to be with you. Not only is he going to be with you, but he's going to live in you and dwell in you. And when he's dwelling in you, he's going to empower you. And that's the greatest gift I can give you, because I've already given you my son. And my son, he's already shed his blood. And he's already made you right so that you can come up and talk to me. Think about it. What do we need comfort for if God's going to answer every prayer we ask? We need comfort because we have mental problems. We have heart issues. We have craziness within our lives. We've got insanity dwelling in us that we won't believe God's word's true. So the Holy Ghost is going to be there with us to keep talking to us and telling us. I'll still never forget, you know, here shortly, Sister Annie's going to come up from the valley and be here with us and minister to you. And she's been such a great mentor in my life and talked to me. She was the first Catholic in the state of Texas that was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She's just a marvelous woman. You could not get more opposite of her than me. She was raised in a convent, became a nun at an early age, was a teacher to children in the convent. While I was out raising hell and all this, she was trying to serve Jesus with all of her heart, with the capacity that she had, and love God, loves God. Anyway, why was I saying that? Oh, one of the greatest things that she ever taught me in life was one day we were visiting, talking. I said, I need somebody just to follow me around. I said, can you just follow me around all the time and talk to me and tell me what's going on and just keep reminding me of these things that I keep forgetting? And she said, well, there is somebody that follows you around all the time. And I was stupid enough to say, what do you mean? Robert, I think it's the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Holy Spirit to be with you, always to comfort you. I mean, are you having, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. You know, goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. He is standing there with you. Are you talking? You see, folks, it's about, we get wrapped up with everything. God does not want us to be robots. He doesn't want us to be pre-programmed where you just stick the disc in us. And then we function. I saw on television the other day where the Japanese came up with this robot teacher. They had this stupid looking dummy up there. And its mouth and moving and talk to the kids. And I thought, I mean, instantly when I saw that, I thought, if I was a kid in the class, what's he going to do? Chase me around? Spank me? What are you going to do? I'd be over there jacking with that thing. Draw faces on this thing, you know? I mean, what's he going to do? Sit down, Robert. Sit down, Robert. Sit down now. They come, the next teacher comes in to see, there, the thing's got a, you know, war bonnet on or something, you know. Instantly, that's what I thought when I saw that thing. I thought, man, you know, you still got it in you. I was a terrible student, folks. I mean, y'all should never. If anybody was ever, you found out that went to school with me or whatever, you need to just pray for them. And I actually had to go back after I got saved to a few of my teachers and repent, tell them, sorry, man, I'm saved now. Should have never done that. I wasn't then. I was a devil. It's full of the devil. I was. It was terrible. I don't know how I'm on that. I'm just totally lost tonight. Bits and pieces. I'm just having in my head tonight. He's talking to you. He's with you always. The Holy Spirit's there to speak with you, to talk with you. That's being empowered by the Spirit. Folks, listen to me. If you would just start to today get in the habit of problem, prayer, what do I do? Problem, prayer, what do I do, Holy Spirit? He said if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to empower you. If you ask, it's yours. So, I mean, that's what he wants you to do. It's not like, well, Lord, I hate to bother you today, but I really got a situation. No. He's there. So it's problem, prayer. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do I do? And we develop that. We start to extend our faith and develop our faith is like a muscle. In Romans, talks about faith. In Romans 3, talks about faith that everybody's been dealt a measure of faith that's been given to us. Well, if you've been dealt a measure of faith, if you have to then exercise that faith in order that faith to grow. You exercise your faith and your faith grows when you see God do miracles. When you see something happen in life that was God, if you've lived your life and you've never seen God do something for you, oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry. I could never preach another message again and do nothing but sit on this pulpit and testify of the things that I have seen God do in my life. To me, they're all miracles. Doesn't make any difference how big or how whatever. It's just all just miracle things that we've done. Does that mean my life has been a bed of roses? Absolutely not. I've walked through some, in my family, we've walked through some extremely hard times. I mean, been broke, sick, tore up, stomped, wallowed through the mud of life, come up out of the muck and mire, had to renew my mind. I mean, it hadn't been easy. But how, Bruce, I can tell you some miracles. I can tell you the things God's done, things that I never thought would have happened. I've seen things happen in people's lives that I never would have thought it done. When it looked like everything in the world was lost and undone and not going to make it, that it was always just a miracle, something happened. I've seen him bless my family. And I mean, I wake up every morning, I walk out on my porch and say, oh, God, thank you, man. Thank you. Whew. Simple. He didn't want it complicated. But we've got to develop our faith. We've got to grow our faith. And the only way we can do is to believe God is going to answer our prayers and then see the answers to the prayers and the faith grows. And then we become so empowered then by the Spirit. So many times I'll be walking in life and I'll tell my wife, I don't know, something's just not right. Something's just not right. I don't know. Something's just not right. We just need to walk. Just keep walking. Just be cautious and just take a few steps and just keep moving forward. But something's not right. God's got something going on. Something's going to happen. It isn't going to go this way. And just be praying about it and talking to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Come on, Holy Ghost, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. How many times I have walked blindly into the middle of everything. Just blindly stepped in and said, oh, God, I hope this is you. Because I'm determined I'm not going backwards. Can only go forwards. We want it all spelled out, written. We want to get a letter in the mail from heaven. a heaven email comes down. Okay, Robert, I've seen what's going on in your life today, and what you need to do is you need to do this, 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 this. That's what we want. Right? But he said, no, 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 it's a relationship. I tell y'all how humble. God always works with y'all these ways. Skip, over here, I'll just tell you a few things about you. You don't want to play pool with Skip. I'm telling so y'all never get hustled. He was a pool hustler in his other days, in his younger years, hustled his way through school and playing cheating pool. Still plays pool a lot. And so we were in the Harley shop, and we were waiting for a tire to be put on the motorcycle, and so they have a pool table, so we were going to play pool. I knew I was going to get beat. All right, but I thought maybe I'll snake something out, you know. Have great confidence that surely the Holy Ghost will shine upon me. So we played 16 games. I actually believe of the 16, I legitimately only won one. And that was because he made a bad shot and the nine ball was lined up. We're playing nine ball. Was lined up in the pocket and I just could shoot the one into the nine and knock the thing in and I won the game. I really did win. And I was so excited. The other one I won, I made him bounce the ball off the rail twice to go in the hole and stuff like that, you know, for me to win. I think he let me have two, so I got three out of 16. It was an humbling experience, just taking things out of me, you know. Pride and whatever was being ripped forth from my soul. But I didn't get mad. I didn't throw anything. Didn't swing at the pool stick with him or anything like that or say anything ugly or, you know, nothing. God was dealing with me. See, the point is, at one point, even Skip said this, at one point, it was like the anointing of God came on me. This is right, right? You just raise your hand and say, this is not right. I don't know if God just blessed me and anointed me. And one thing, I mean, I made a run on some balls. Like I shot like, what was the old Fats, what was his name? Minnesota Fats. Man, I look like Minnesota Fats. And then it was over. It was just a brief spurt of anointing. And then it left me. And it was all over. This is back down to Robert again. Point I'm trying to say is, in that brief moment, I can live life with brief moments of the anointing of God flowing through me and seeing God do miracles. Because that every time I do that, it makes me realize that, you know, we really can come to a larger place in our lives where we see God flow more and more. But he's never going to flow if we never step out. If we never ask, if we never seek, if we never believe, we're not going to get anything, folks. And I would rather have a brief moment of glory in the Holy Ghost than to live my life as a natural man, never being empowered by the Spirit, never seeing God do anything, never seeing nothing. I'm just trying to work out my life in my abilities. Oh, I'd rather be out there. I'm the guy that would just, I'll swing a million times to hit one home run. Because it's just that brief moment of the anointing of God that just makes everything in life worth living for. Amen? So look at the person in life and look beside you and say, there's hope for you.